Welcome to Bible Truths. We're glad that you were able to tune in today and hope that you'll have your Bible out if it's possible and open to the scriptures that I'm using because I believe that it will help you to understand better from God's Word what God wants and what is truth and what is right. You'll learn this from the scriptures and nowhere else. We want to talk about necessary inferences. Are they really necessary? Well, the question is, has the cry for book, chapter, and verse, has it been silenced by a majority that does not seek Bible answers or Bible patterns? Is that what has happened? We know that Jesus said in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, He made it very clear, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. For many in that day will say unto me, but Lord, did we not cast out demons by thy name, do many mighty works? And then I'll declare to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. And that's what Jesus said, because iniquity has to do with lawlessness. That is where you become a law to yourself. There are many in this religious world today who have become a law to themselves, or they become a law to you, that you're the one that's supposed to listen to them. What I'm asking you to do today is to open your Bible and consider what the Bible says. That's the nature of Bible truths to begin with. So it's important to understand, if you will, first and foremost, the 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and the 7th verse, the Apostle Paul said, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. There's certainly direct commandments, and there are specified things in the New and Old Testament. But the thing is that there are also things, biblical things, scriptural things, that are to be necessarily inferred. Notice, if we will, Noah built the ark. Now, in Genesis, the 6th chapter, we can read where the Lord God told Noah, build an ark. Build it out of gopher wood. That's what he told him. Well, immediately, the Bible reader needs to consider the fact that when God said to Noah, build the ark out of gopher wood, that excluded every other kind of wood. It doesn't take very long to understand that when God says something and specifies, it excludes everything else. Now, that may be a necessary inference, you know, but it is a necessary inference because the fact is that people have decided they believe in what Noah was told to do and what Noah did, but they can't understand the New Testament for some reason. Well, let me give you an example of what I'm saying. Would you really believe that the ark would have floated if Noah had built it out of pine or even oak? And you're going to say, no, that's not what God said, and you'd be right. But I ask you again, could God have saved Noah in an ark made out of pine or oak? And the answer is, you say, well, no, because that's not what God said. I said, and you're right, but God could have saved Noah out of an ark made of pine or oak. And you will say back to me, but that's not what he said. And I'll say to you, amen, that's exactly right. That's why it's important for us to understand what Jesus said in Mark 16, 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. My question to you is this. Can you be saved without being baptized in water for the remission of sins? Do you really believe that you can be saved? Do you believe that, and you may well believe in once saved, always saved, although I ask you to show me the scriptures where it teaches such a thing. Because the Lord Jesus talked about obedience. He talked about doing. He didn't just talk about belief alone or faith alone. And I'll grant you very, very quickly that one is not saved by works alone. I know that's not true, but they're not saved by faith alone either. They're saved by working faith. But the thing about discussion today is that I want to know, can you discern the thundering silence of the scriptures? And I believe that you can. I believe that people all over the world, in whatever language the Bible is translated into their language, that they can understand clearly what God wants them to do, what God wants to be done, and what Jesus demands of those who follow Him. And He has demands. I know that in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, if you turn in your Bible there, 1 Corinthians 10, I read in the 6th verse the statement made by the Apostle Paul. Now, these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. To the 11th verse, he's speaking of the children of Israel on their way to the promised land. In the 11th verse, he says this, now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition. The word admonition means warning. They're written for our warning, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. He's talking to us. So when we read the Old Testament passages, we need to understand that we certainly are not under the Old Covenant, but we're under the New Covenant through Jesus Christ and His blood. But the thing is, though, is under the Old Covenant, we need to understand that although we're not under the Old Covenant, the lives of those people, and by the way, when you read the Old Testament, it's not a story. It's not fiction. It's an account. Those people really lived. They really died. They were real. A lot of times people look at the Bible as though it's a book of myths or something like that, and it is not. It is not to be treated or handled like other books of this world, because it's not written by men, it's written by God. Someone said, well, I thought that men wrote it down, but they were only writing as they were moved by God, by the Holy Spirit, to write the things not of their own personal opinion, but indeed of God. That's what the Scriptures teach us. Notice, if you will, please, that in Leviticus, in the Old Testament, turn to Leviticus, the 10th chapter, and back here in the Old Testament, way back here, all the way back to Leviticus. A lot of times people say, I don't know what you're getting out of that. And I say, well, I get what I read in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6 and verse 11. I'm getting the same thing, that there are things written that we need to understand and take heed from. They said, well, you don't believe that you're supposed to do sacrifices like the Old Testament. I said, you're right, I don't. I believe that we live in the New Testament age. If you want to find out what the Bible teaches about the first and second dispensation, that is, if you will, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, turn to Galatians, the 3rd chapter, and read the chapter. And consider what the Apostle Paul said, because he did effectively argue there in the Scriptures that we're not under the Old Testament law. A lot of the religious world is completely deceived because they don't understand that. And that's sad too. If they look at Luke, the 16th chapter and the 16th verse, where it says the law and the prophets were until John, and after this, the gospel of the kingdom is preached. They don't understand the dispensations, but they haven't got that yet. For some reason, they don't seem to understand what the clear Bible teaching of Luke 16:16. Going back, if you will, to Leviticus, the 10th chapter, which we started to begin with, Leviticus 10, the first two verses, we read this. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took a censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. I would have you underline your Bible on this first verse, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And the thing about it is that they died not because they did something that was said they shouldn't do, it's because they did that which God didn't say anything about doing at all. So much for the arguments that people make about, well, it didn't say not to. No. The things that God has said are the things that stand. And you're to infer from them, in many cases, what you shouldn't be doing. And as a result of that, that's what the problem is. I use the example, and many times it's been used, and I think it's a good example, that the mother sent her little son to the store. And she said, now, son, here's the money. I want you to go to the store, and I want you to buy a gallon of milk. I want you to buy some milk for us. And so the little boy goes to the store, and he gets in the store, and he looks around, and he sees the milk, but he looks around, and he sees some bread. He said, well, bread is good. Mom likes bread. I can buy some bread. And then he looked a little further, and he saw some candy. He said, oh, candy is good. And I know mother likes candy. So he bought some candy. And for some reason, he forgot what he was sent to do, but that's all right, because he got things. And he got home, and his mother said, where's the milk? And he said, but mother, I bought you bread. Don't you like bread? And mother said, that's right, I do like bread, but that's not what I asked you to bring me. And then he said, but mother, you like candy. I bought your favorite candy. And she said, your son, it's true. I like candy, and I like the candy you bought, but that's not what I ask you for. When God is our Father, when he asks us to do something, we're not supposed to second guess him. We're not to take a consensus of people around us, what we think God said or what we think God likes. We're to do what God said. And so he says, well, that's such a simple thing. Why do people miss it? Because they want to do what they think is right. They want to do what they feel is good or what they've grown up with as far as human tradition is concerned. You know, I ask the question, why aren't people asking for book, chapter, and verse for the things they do in the name of the Lord? Just because you say you do it in the name of the Lord doesn't make it so. You need to consult the Lord, what Jesus said, what he taught. Look, if you will, at this third verse here in Leviticus 10. It's very important to our lesson. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying. This is what happened. He said, this is what the Lord spoke, saying. By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. You think for a moment, how many times have you gone to a worship, quote-unquote worship service, and God really was glorified? Now, really, you find preachers were glorified, or priests, or pastors, they're glorified, or some churches glorified, but is Jesus glorified? That's the question. We missed the point, don't you see? Because what God told Moses was, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, as set apart from others. And in fact, before all the people, I must be glorified. It was later that Moses would strike the rock the second time when he was told to speak to the rock. And as a result, he was not allowed to go in to Canaan. He was not allowed to go into the promised land. He was shown it, but he couldn't go in. And the reason why, not because he struck the rock. I mean, he did the second time what he'd done the first time. But that wasn't the reason was because he didn't give God the glory. Now, a lot of times, I don't think people just stop and think about that for a minute. Do you really give God the glory? Well, I know the preacher should do that. You're right. All people should do that. Giving God the glory is to give him the say. Oh, well, that's a different matter. Give him the say. Well, how do we give God the say? By reading his word and obeying what it says, by making the necessary inferences that we ought to make. But again, people are looking at what they like or what they think, and that is a problem. Why is it we're told by the Apostle Paul, as he wrote to Timothy, the evangelist, in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. Well, the thing is that it was expected, even as an evangelist, to rightly divide or to cut straight paths, if you will, in the Word of God. It's not a suggestion. It's not an opinion. It is a commandment. It's what we should do. So many times, as people read the Bible, they take the things of the Scriptures to be matters of opinion. Or they think it's optional. If I feel like I can do it, then I'll do it. And that's wrong. That's totally wrong. Jesus said in John 7:17, if a man is willing to do the will of my Father, he shall know the teaching, whether I speak for myself or whether it is from God. And so we see that there's got to be a willingness to do God's will before you're going to know it. At least that's what I understand Jesus to be saying in John 7:17. But really our lesson today centers more around this particular fact, that absolute truth is under attack, that relative truth in the church is replacing Bible truth. Relative truth. I mean, seldom have I ever, in preaching the gospel, asked the audience, well, do you like what I'm saying? Do you feel good about what I'm saying? I don't ask them that. Somebody says, this cure is just nasty then. No, I'm not. I'm their friend. I preach to them from the Bible. I ask them to open their Bible and to check out what I'm saying. I don't ask anyone to believe me or to follow me. I ask them to follow the Scriptures. And there's something different in that, because to do that effectively and, of course, scripturally, they must make necessary inferences. They must infer things that are not, if you will, written out in bold print many times. But it's implied, many things implied. Look at 1 Corinthians 2, if you will, back in the New Testament. And you'll notice that I go back and forth between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And there's a reason for that. Because you see, without the Old Testament, what do you understand in the New Testament? Without the New Testament, what do you understand about the Old Testament? Together, reading both of them, you'll understand what God's will is. You'll begin to understand it. Look, if you will, again, in 1 Corinthians 2. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Christians of Corinth, he wanted them to understand something about his preaching. And I think that's important, because I'm thankful that he wrote that, because it helps us understand about what is truly gospel preaching. Not preaching, gospel preaching. And who is really a gospel preacher? Paul said, watch this. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now that tells me something, that many people's faith is in their pastor, it's in their preacher, it's in their minister, it's in their priest, it's in their church, but it's not in the Bible. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. That's where it comes from. Faith is not something that's infused upon you or in you. Faith is something that grows and develops through the Scriptures. Study the Scriptures. Make the rightly divide the words of truth. Make the correct applications from the Scriptures. Call Bible things by Bible names. Do Bible things in Bible ways. That's exactly what we're talking about. It is, in fact, in 2 Peter, the first chapter, it's a very important verse for us to look at. During the 16th verse, he says, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And the thing about it is, he says, we didn't follow cunningly devised fables. Well, why did Peter have to say that? Because people were used to a doctrine being that of men or the traditions of men. But this is directly from the Lord. This is directly from the Holy Spirit speaking to Peter as Peter wrote these words down. That's what this is. That's why it's the words of truth. Not because I want it to be the words of truth, because I think it's the word, because it is the words of truth. Absolute truth. But we live in a society that has decided that everything must be relative in nature. You're okay, I'm okay. The kind of concept that has, well, why can't we just all get along? And when people talk like that, they're not interested in what the Bible says. They're interested in feelings and how they feel. And I don't read Jesus ever asking his apostles, well, how do you feel? Or how do you feel? Do you read that? Have you ever found that? If you have, please show me. I'd like to know. I certainly would like to change, because if that's what Jesus, but that's not what Jesus did. That's about their feelings. So why do you have so many preachers and pastors and priests out there asking people about their feelings? What about the Lord? What about what he died for? Is not the church his own? Can he not command it as he will, since he's the head of the body, the church? Do you, my friend, do you see the unseen things of God? That's really how I conclude this lesson today. Do you see the unseen things of God? It's a very, very interesting thing. I'd gone to Lithuania quite a while back, and I met a Russian captain, Mikhail is his name, and he was very fit, stood 6'2", weighed probably 195 pounds. He was solid muscle. He believed in Zen Buddhism. He was a communist. He told me so. I asked him through the translator, would you have a Bible study with me? Mikhail said, I don't need that. And I said to the translator, I said, well, ask Mikhail if he's ever read the Bible. And she asked him, and he said, Nit. I said, then how can you know if you've never read it? And so he agreed to a Bible study. He didn't take that Russian Bible then, but he met me for a Bible study in an apartment where we had Bible study with people. And he came, and he's very friendly, and he came, and I tried to give him a Russian Bible again, and he refused to take it. And I thought to myself, well, I don't understand. And he said something in Russian, and the translator said, well, Mikhail told me to tell you that he doesn't believe in what he cannot see. And I said, oh, okay, I understand. I said, and there happened to be a couple of bobby pins, how convenient that was. And I picked them up, and I held them out to Mikhail. And I said, Mikhail, I said, and told the translator, tell him to take these two bobby pins and stick them in the 220 socket over here. He looked at me really strangely, and he went, net. And I just went, why? Why not? And he said, I'd be killed. That's what he told the translator. The translator said, Mikhail says he'll be killed. I said, killed? Killed by what? So it goes back, translator, to Mikhail. Mikhail said, well, by the electricity. And I say to Mikhail, through the translator, I said, electricity? I don't see any electricity. Do you? And he got this real knowing look on his face, and he said something very slowly in Russian, and I didn't know what he was saying. And the translator told me, he said, Mikhail says he likes your science. And I told him, I said, you tell Mikhail that it's not my science or my reasoning, it's how God's word works. He took that Russian Bible. Lord willing, he'll read it. Friend, that's all I can ask you to do, to make the necessary emphasis from God's word, and let no one distract you from it. Read God's word for yourself. Study and follow the words of the Lord, of the Savior, and understand that men have made a mockery of God's word, and they're doing it today, as they've always done, because it's the words of life that are going to deliver your soul from a devil's hell. Don't you understand that the devil doesn't want you to read the Bible? Don't you understand that the devil wants people to think they can't understand what the Bible says? This is the nature of what we're dealing with in this dark world. It is amazing that there's nations on earth, if you will, that absolutely refuse to have a Bible even to be on the street or in a private home. I know why. They're afraid of it. They're afraid of the Bible because the Bible is the power of God. In fact, Paul said in Romans 1, verse 16, he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To every man that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed the righteousness of God from faith unto faith. That's what he said. It's the power of God. I don't take it lightly. I know God's word is real. I know God's word is truth. I know it's absolute truth. You say, oh, so I guess you understand all scripture. I never said that, but I believe you can understand from the scriptures what you need to know in order to be saved. There are many times that people don't understand about 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and seeing the unseen things. There I was trying to get Mikhail, one who had never read the Bible, one who didn't know who Jesus Christ was, had no idea who the God of heaven really is, and yet I was trying to get him to read the Bible, and he had all these other things in his mind, and he decided that he didn't need the Word of God. I ask people when they come to gospel meetings where I preach gospel meetings, did you bring your Bible? I ask them that question because without them bringing their Bible, how do they know what I'm saying is the truth? Oh, well, we trust you, Dennis. You're a kind person. Really? Really? You can't trust anybody but the Lord. You need to put your faith in the Word of God. You need to understand that you can understand it. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 through 18, the Apostle Paul said this, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are seen are eternal. The things that are not seen are eternal. And that's what we're talking about. Do you see the unseen things? Will you join with Mikhail and make that argument that you don't believe in what you cannot see? Yet we said in the verse of this lesson, we walk by faith and not by sight. Yet there are so many people that don't realize or understand this principle. And as a result, they deprive themselves of reading God's Word and making the applications from it. I would have you look, in conclusion, at Hebrews, the 11th chapter. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, if you will, in the 11th chapter, in the 3rd verse, this statement is made. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now, this one verse tells me something about those who hold to the theist evolution doctrine. The idea that the day was not a 24-hour day, but in fact, which they believe was millions or billions of years. No, sir. No, sir. Faith is tied directly tied. We understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. What do you mean it's framed? Because God spoke into existence immediately. God said, let there be light, and what? And there was light. Now, why is it that people cannot understand or follow this reasoning? Why not understand the scriptures that it's very plain in what it says? It may be that you are not a New Testament Christian. And by that I mean that you've not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ as is set forth in the New Testament. I know for a fact that in Acts, the 2nd chapter, when the 12 stood up to preach the gospel, with Peter speaking, that they were pricked in their heart when they were told what they'd done to the Savior, and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Reading that Acts 2 and verse 38. But it's the 40th verse I'd have you look at. And with many other words, he, that's Peter, testified and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this perverse generation. And those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. I want you to look at the 47th verse, the last, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. Jesus added them to his church. His church is the New Testament church. His church doesn't follow the traditions of men. And what he does, in fact, in showing us, he teaches us that we need to put his word first above men and what they think, above doctrines, or whatever church or whatever denomination or whatever you might be part of. You need to open your Bible. I've asked people that I've studied with before. I said, well, what do you believe? I asked them, what do you believe? And they said, well, I believe what my church believes. I said, well, what does your church believe? And they said, well, what does it mean? I need to call my pastor up and ask him. Friend, this is your eternal salvation we're talking about. And you don't even know what you believe? Listen, there are honest, very honest people in different churches who believe many things. But the question is, will it stand the test of the New Testament scriptures? That's the question. And many people, they think that because you ask to study the Bible or you ask to look at scriptures, that somehow you're going to have a fight or be in an argument with them. There's no argument in this. The Bible, let the Bible speak. Let everything else just fall by the wayside. Consider what we're saying today. that you might make the necessary inferences that are certainly inferred by God's word. Would you be with Nadab and Abihu? Would you be there? Would you offer God what he's not asked for and see what the result is? Yes, God must be glorified, and he must be glorified before the people. And I can't do that teaching the precepts of men or the traditions of men, and neither can you. Thank you for listening very carefully and following along in your Bible, because without this, how will any of us be saved? For without Christ, there is no hope. No one comes to the Father but by me, is what Jesus said. And if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. These are the words of Jesus. And Jesus said those not so I could parrot them and establish my own religion or what I think is right. He said them for himself. And when you read them for yourself and understand it's Jesus talking to you. For Jesus speaks plainly through his scriptures, that is through the apostles, by the Holy Spirit. And God has left us a word we can understand. Let me say this to you before closing. Do you understand that God spoke light into existence, that God made the world? We talk about that in Hebrews 11, verse 3. Do you understand that if God, and I believe he does, if God has the power to speak light into existence, surely he has the power to get us a word we can all understand alike. If God can't do that, then there's something wrong, very wrong. Do you believe in God? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is his son? Then obey the gospel before it's too late, for otherwise you'll be destroyed. And I don't want to see that, and you don't want to see that. Let us be saved. Obey the Savior. Thank you.